Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and today's show is for Monday, January 9th, 2017. I have to get used to saying 2017. And today we'll be doing chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of 2 Kings. And it's a continuing story of Elisha, the prophet. And lots of miracles, lots of action, lots of happenings. Let's get right into it. Verse 1 of chapter 6 of 2 Kings. Said the sons of the prophets to Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell is too narrow," 6862, "for us." That means as small, too small for us. Verse 2, "Let us go, please, to the Jordan and take from there every man a beam," 6982, "and let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he said, "Go." And beam is Korah, 6982. Verse 3, "And said one, will you please go with your servants? And said he, I will go." Nice little trip. They're going to go cut wood and build a new house for them. They're getting a little cramped. Verse 4, "So went he with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the iron axe head," that's 1270, "fell into the water of the Jordan River, and cried he and said, Alas, master, it was borrowed," 7592. "As a thing asked for." Verse 6, "And said the man of Elohim, where fell it? And showed he him the place. And cut down he a stick and cast it in there. And the iron axe head floated," 6687. Verse 7, "Therefore said he, take it up to you. And put forth he his hand and took it." That's pretty cool. Right there. And let me get a hit of this nice hot coffee here. Oh, yes. And goes on to another story here about Elisha and the troops of Aram. Verse 8. "The king of Aram was fighting against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place I will encamp." Verse 9. "And the man of Elohim sent to the king of Israel, saying, Guard yourself that you pass through not at such a place, for there Aram descends," 5185. Verse 10, "And sent the king of Israel to the place that the man of Elohim said to him, and warned him of 2094, and that is what his Zahiro, and that is from Zahar. That's the root, Zahar. And guarded himself there not once nor twice. Verse 11. Enraged, 5590, was the heart of the king of Aram over this matter, and called he to his servants and said to them, will you not tell me who is peaceable toward the king of Israel? Verse 12, and said one of his servants, none, my master, O king, because Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. In other words, he knows everything that's going on with the king of the Arameans. He even knows what he's talking about in his bedchamber. Because Yahweh tells him, verse 13, and said he, go and see where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, in Dothan, 1886, verse 14, therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great army, and came they by night and closed in, 5362, upon the city. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of Elohim rose up early and went forth, behold, an army surrounded the city with horses and chariots, and said his servant to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16, and said he, fear not, for those with us are more than those with them. Verse 17, and prayed Elisha and said, Yahweh, please open his eyes that he may see. And opened Yahweh the eyes of the young man, and saw he, and behold, the hill was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now let's stop right there. We're always wondering how we're going to overcome our adversaries today. Who is our God? Our God is Yahweh. The same God right here, okay? I hate to use the word God. The same divine being here. The divine being of Israel. And who are we? We are Israel. And those of us that are in the remnant that are faithful and pray to Yahweh and not to the Jewish God, and trust in him and trust in Yahshua, he will do the same thing for us when the time comes. Not when we want it to happen, but when he wants it to happen. Our business now is to get our spiritual lives straight with Yahweh. That's all we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about who's elected or what laws they're passing. They're going to oppress us. Get that through your skulls. We are going to be oppressed. We are going to go through tribulation. But when the time is right, in Yahweh's timetable, not ours, he's going to send Yeshua back. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. We are told what is going to happen. Quit worrying. Don't have your mindset in this world. Have your mindset that Yahweh is the divine being and our divine being, and he will take care of his chosen people at his pleasure. Let's get back into this. Verse 18. And when came forth they to him, prayed Elisha to Yahweh and said, smite this nation, please, with sudden blindness. 5575. And that's from a root meaning to dazzle. And smote he them with sudden blindness according to the word of Elisha. Verse 19, and said Elisha to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow after me, and I will bring you to the man that you seek. But brought he them to Shomeron, that's the capital of Israel. Verse 20, and it came to be, when they came to Shomeron, that said Elisha, Yahweh, open the eyes of these, that they may see. And opened Yahweh their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Shomeron. Verse 21, and said the king of Israel to Elisha, when saw he them, my father, in other words, that's an honorarium, that's not a physical father, my father, shall I smite? Shall I smite? And he was ready to kill these Arameans because they were right in the middle of the capital of Israel and all the troops. Verse 22, and said he, you shall smite not. Would smite you those whom you had taken captive by your sword and by your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Verse 23, and gave he a great banquet for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and went they two to their master. And of course, you know they told him all of this. Continuing on, so the marauding bands of Aram came no more into the land of Israel. They made a believer out of their king. He says, this kind of stuff is going to go on, and Yahweh is going to do this to us? Well, he stopped for a while, but not for long. Verse 24. And it came to be after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all of his army, not just the part that he sent after Elisha, and went up and lay siege upon Shomeron. Verse 25, and there was a great famine in Shomeron, and behold, they lay siege upon it until the head of an ass was 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob, 6894, that equals about 2 quarts, of dove's dung, 1686, was 5 pieces of silver. And they wanted the dove's dung because of the undigested seeds in it. They would pick the seeds out of the dove poop. That's bad situation. Verse 26. And as passed by the king of Israel upon the wall, there cried to him a woman, saying, help, my master, O king. Verse 27. And said he, if Yahweh helps you not, from where shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? And said the king to her, what ails you? And said she, said this woman to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. They're going to eat their own children. Oh! Verse 29, so we cooked my son and ate him, And said I to her the next day, give your son, that we may eat him. And she has hid her son. And verse 29, you can reference Deuteronomy 28, verse 57, and Lamentations 4, verse 10. Verse 30, and it came to be, when heard the king the words of the woman, that rent he his clothes, and passed by he upon the wall, and looked the people, and behold, he had sackcloth from within upon his flesh. He was in supplication to Yahweh. He was debasing himself before Yahweh. And he's going to blame Elisha for this problem. Stupid. Verse 31, then said he, Elohim, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand upon him this day. He's gonna kill Elisha. Verse 32. But sat Elisha in his house, and sat the elders with him, and the king sent a man from before him, but before the messenger came to him, said he to the elders, see that this son of a murderer, 7523, sends to take away my head. Son of a murderer. Remember, Achab, this man, the king's father, murdered Naboth for the vineyard. Look, when comes the messenger, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Verse 33. And while spoke he yet with them, behold, came forth the messenger to him, and said he, behold, this calamity is from Yahweh. Why should I wait 3176 for Yahweh any longer? Here's the chapter notes for chapter 6. Jehoram, son of Achab, was king at this time. He was not pleased that he was not permitted to smite Aram. This was to work for Yahweh's glory later, and even after the men of Aram were shown mercy, Ben-Hadad again came at Israel. Impatient and faithless, Jehoram blamed Elisha for sparing Aram earlier. In chapter 7, which is coming up, you will see how Yahweh will cause Aram to flee without destroying them, and the famine will be broken, and Jehoram will still be faithless. So this was Jehoram speaking when he says, why should I wait on for Yahweh any longer? Well, let me get another hit of this coffee while it's still hot. Oh, that's so good. Chapter 7 in the second book of Kings, verse 1. Then said Elisha, hear you the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh. Remember, I quoted you about what the dove's dung and the rest of the stuff and the head of a donkey's head would sell for so much. Tomorrow about this time, a seah, 5429, that's 10.696 quarts, and it's one-third of an ephah. A seah of fine flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel in the gate of Shamaron. Now that's really cheap. That's virtually nothing, because the famine's going to be broken, and then they're not going to be wanting for anything, because of the miracle Yahweh's going to work. Verse 2, then the adjutant, 7991, on whose hand leaned 81:72, the king answered the man of Elohim and said, "Behold, if Yahweh would make windows 699 in the sky, might this thing be?" And the adjutant is the king's personal attendant. "And said he, Behold, you shall see with your eyes, but shall not eat from it." Verse 3. "And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die?" Because they might starve to death. The famine was all over everything and just terrible. Verse 4. "If say we, let us go into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if sit we here, we die also. Now, come, let us fall into the army of Aram, and if they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die." In other words, we don't have anything to lose. Let's go out there and see what we can get from them. That was the plan. Verse 5. "And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of Aram. And when they came to the edge of the camp of Aram, behold, no men were there." Verse 6. "Yahweh had caused to hear the army of Aram the noise of chariots and a noise of horses, the noise of a great army. And said they one man to another, Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Kittim and the kings of Mitzrayim to come upon us." That's the Hittites and the Egyptians. Verse 7. "So they rose up and fled in the twilight and abandoned their tents and their horses and their asses and the camp as it was and fled for their lives." They just left the camp with all the stuff in it. Verse 8. "And when came these lepers to the edge of the camp, went they into one tent and ate and drank and carried away from there silver and gold and clothing and went and hid it. And returned and entered into another tent and carried away from there and went and hid it." Verse 9. "Then said they one to another, That which is not right we do. This day is a day of good tidings." That's 1309. "And we keep silent. If we wait until the morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now come, let us go and tell the king's household." Verse 10. "So came they and called to the gatekeeper," 7778, "of the city, and told they him, saying, Came we to the camp of Aram, and behold, no men were there, nor voice of Adam, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." Verse 11. "And called he the gatekeepers, and they told to the king's house within." Verse 12. "And rose up the king in the night and said to his servants, I will now tell you what Aram has done to us. They know that we hunger," 7457. "Therefore went they forth from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When come they forth from the city, we shall capture them alive and enter the city." I had to put that in there. I'm sorry. Verse 13. "And answered one from his servants and said, Let us, please, take five of the horses that are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are consumed, and let us send and see." In other words, the horses aren't going to do us any good because they're going to starve too. Verse 14. They took two chariot horses and sent the king after the army of Aram, saying, Go and see. Verse 15. And they went after them to the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and equipment which Aram had cast away in haste. and returned the messengers and told the king. Verse 16, then went forth the people and looted, 962, the camp of Aram. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Yahweh. And appointed the king the adjutant on whose hand he leaned to be over the gate, and trampled the people him in the gate, and he died, as had said the man of Elohim, who spoke when came forth the king to him. Remember, he said, you won't eat of it. Well, he didn't. He got trampled to death. Verse 18, and it came to be, as had spoken the man of Elohim to the king, saying, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold this time tomorrow in the gate of Shemeron. And the king didn't believe him, because he didn't have faith in Yahweh. Verse 19, and had answered the adjutant, the man of Elohim, and had said, now, behold, if makes Yahweh's windows in the sky, might such a thing be? And had said he, behold, you shall see with your eyes, but shall not eat of it. That was Elisha that told him that. Well, he didn't get to eat of it. He saw it, but they got trampled. Verse 20, and so it was, as trampled the people him in the gate, and he died. Ha ha. I'm sorry, but I have no tender feelings for these faithless, evil people. Here's chapter notes for 7. Now, Jehoram doubted the miracle that Yahweh brought about and was made a fool of. The adjutant used the name of Yahweh in a mocking way when he spoke to Yahweh's man Elisha. And Yahweh caused him to be trampled by the people. After all the food that was available, they were rushing out and just trampled him. Just ran right over the top of him. Like in a panic situation, in an emergency, people get knocked down and trampled as people are trying to exit a burning building. I mean, it happens all the time. And if all these people are stomping and kicking and stepping on you, it's going to kill you. That's just how it is. That's a lot of havoc to bring on a person's body. Let me get another hit of what's left of my coffee while it's still warm. And we'll get into chapter 8 here. And the way things are going with these short chapters and quick reads, I might be able to get chapter 9 in today. I'll see. And this is chapter 8, and the Shunammith returns to Shunem. Verse 1, then spoke Elisha to the woman whose son restored he to life, saying, rise up and go, you and your household, and sojourn wherever you can sojourn, because Yahweh has called for a famine, and it is coming to the land for 7 years. And you can reference 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. He told her, see, the timeline jumps around in these books. It's not all in a smooth flowing timeline. It's backwards and forwards, and this had already occurred, but it's in a later chapter. It's in chapter 8, not in chapter 4. That's just, I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Verse 2, and rose up the woman and did what had said the man of Elohim, and went she with her household and sojourned in the land of the Pelishtim 7 years. That's the Philistines. Verse 3, and it came to be at the end of 7 years that returned the woman from the land of the Pelishtim, and went forth she to cry to the king about her house and about her land. Verse 4, and spoke the king to Gehazi, the servant of the man of Elohim, saying, tell me, please, all the great things that has done Elisha. Verse 5, and it came to be, as he was telling the king how he made alive, 24:21, the dead, that behold, the woman whose son he had made alive cried to the king over her house and over her land, and said, Gehazi, my master, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son who made alive Elisha. She just happened to hear she is. Yahweh brought that about. Verse 6, and when asked the king, the woman told she him. So appointed the king to her a certain eunuch, 5631, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the revenue, 8393, of the field from the day that left she the land until now. In other words, whoever was using it's going to have to pay her for it. And now we start another section. Elisha foretells Kazael's rise to power. Verse 7. And came Elisha to Damasek, that's Damascus, and was sick Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. And he's the one that kept attacking Israel. And it was told him, saying, the man of Elohim has come here. They even knew him in Aram. That would be Syria today, but it's a different racial makeup today. Verse 8, and said the king to Kazael, 2371, take in your hand a gift, 4503, and go meet the man of Elohim and inquire by him of Yahweh, saying, shall I revive, 2421, from this disease, 2483? Verse 9, so went Kazael to meet him and took with him a gift of all good things of Damasek, 40 camels burden, 4853. That's a lot of stuff. And came before him and said, your son, that's an honorarium, Ben, he's your son, he's subject to you, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has sent me to you, saying, shall I revive from this disease? Verse 10, and said Elisha to him, go, say to him, you shall certainly revive. However, has shown Yahweh to me that he shall surely die. He's setting something up here, and he's upset about it. Verse 11, and stood he still with his face fixed, 7760. In other words, his face was expressionless. Until he was ashamed, 954, and wept, 1058, the man of Elohim. Verse 12, and said Kazael, why is my master weeping? And said he, because know I the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds, 4013, you will set on fire, and their young men you will slay with the sword, and will dash in pieces, 7376, their children, and rend open, 1234, their pregnant women, 2030. Verse 13. And said Kazael, but what is your servant? A dog, that he should do this great thing? And answered Elisha, has shown me Yahweh, you as king over Aram. Verse 14, so departed he from by Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to you? And said he, told he me that you shall surely recover. Now he lied to him. Verse 15, and it was the next day that took he a netted cloth, 4, 3, 4, 6, and dipped it in water and spread it over his face. So he died and reigned Kazael in his place. In other words, he smothered his master Ben-Hadad. Put a wet, heavy cloth over his face and he couldn't breathe and he smothered him. Verse 16. And in the fifth year of Joram, 3141, the son of Achab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, then king of Yehuda, Jehoram, 3088, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, began to reign. All right. Jehoshaphat died. You see, chapter 5, 3141, is also Jehoram, 3088. They're the same man. And see verses 24 and 25 here in this chapter. So write that down as reference. Verse 17. 32 years of age was he when he began to reign. And reigned he 8 years in Jerusalem. Verse 18. And walked he in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Achab, because the daughter of Achab was his wife. And acted he wickedly in the sight of Yahweh. Verse 19, you can reference 1 Kings 11, verse 36. Yet Yahweh would not destroy Yehuda for Dawud his servant's sake, as promised he to give him for all time a lamp to his children. Verse 20. In his days, Edom rebelled, 6586, from under the hand of Yehuda and made a king over themselves. They had a viceroy ruling them under Yehuda. They had an overseer over the country. And you can reference Genesis 27, verse 40, and 1 Kings 22, verse 47. Verse 21, so Joram passed over to Sa'ira, 6811, and all the chariots with him, and rose he by night, and smote Edom, which surrounded him, and the commander of the chariots. And the people fled to their tents. Verse 22, yet Edom rebelled from under the hand of Yehuda unto this day. Then rebelled Libna, 3841, at the same time. Verse 23, and the rest of the affairs of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? That's Chronicles. Verse 24, and slept Joram with his ancestors, in other words, he died, and was buried with his ancestors in the city of Dawud, and reigned Akaziahu, 274, in his place. Verse 25, in the 12th year of Joram, 3141, the son of Achab, king of Israel, did Akaziahu, the son of Jehoram, 3088, king of Yehuda, begin to reign. And the names are in reverse from verse 24, as 3088 here is the same as Joram in 24. That Yehoram and Joram in 24 are the same man. And 314 is Yehoram as in verse 16. The father's name is the key. It's very confusing. Verse 26. 22 years of age was Akaziahu when began he to reign. Reigned he 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, A-T-H-A-L-Y-A-H. Athaliah, 6271. And she was a mixed seed by Isabel. She was a Sidoni. And she was the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. Verse 27. And walked he in the way of the house of Achab, and acted evilly in the sight of Yahweh, as the house of Achab. For he was a son-in-law of the house of Achab. Verse 28. And went he with Joram the son of Achab to war against Kazael, king of Aram, in Ramoth-Gilead. And the Aramees smote Joram. And verse 28 and 29, you can reference 2 Chronicles 22 verses 5 and 6. Verse 29, and returned King Joram to be healed, 7495, in Yisrael, of the wounds which the Aramee had smitten him at Ramah. Now, Ramah is another name for Ramoth Gilead. Same place, just different name. One fought he against Kazael, king of Aram. And Akaziahu, the son of Yehoram, 3088, king of Yehuda, went forth to see Joram, the son of Achab, in Yisrael, because he was sick. All of these, this is just all intermingled here, and this book can be very, very confusing. And I'm looking at chapter 9 here, and it's a long chapter, and I'm not going to get it in today. I just can't do it. And I don't want to start it and then stop right in the middle. That doesn't get it. But I've got 6, 7, and 8 in. Tomorrow, I will do chapters 9 through 11. That's Tuesday, the 10th of January. But what we've seen here in these chapters here today is Yahweh's miracles. And the people that doubt Yahweh are made fools of. And one of them mocked Yahweh, and Yahweh had the people trampling. He died. He was told that you would see all this food, but you won't eat of it. Well, that happened. Yahweh doesn't lie. We don't have prophets speaking with Yahweh today. What we have is a smaller version of it where Yahweh speaks to us personally through the Holy Spirit and guides us. We know in our hearts when we're doing right and wrong. We can't say that we don't. There are people that are faithful and will do what is right because they love Yahweh and they want to obey Him. And there are people that are in the middle and people that just do evil because it's all about them. And they don't really believe, and they're not of Yahweh's people. They make a choice. They choose to be of the world. We cannot force these people into good behavior. They're going to have to regulate themselves. There's no control today except self-control. We choose as individuals to do right or wrong. The blame rests securely right upon us. We cannot mealy-mouth our way about it. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make you do anything. You do it. I do it. If I do wrong and have an improper thought, I have to go to Yahweh in prayer and ask for forgiveness. I ask Him for forgiveness daily. Paul said, I die daily. He dies daily to the world. And the order of the world under the prince and power of the air today, the evil, He puts aside the world consciously, willingly. It's not about stuff. It's about spiritual and moral righteousness. He who dies with the most toys wins. Bumper stickers are a lie. All your stuff that you accumulate is going to go to somebody else when you pass on. You're not going to take any of it with it. I have papers designating who's supposed to get all my reference books here. I have a huge library, and I don't want that to be lost. Could have common people just came in here, they wouldn't value any of this stuff, and they'd throw it out. Oh, I don't want to read these old books. Throw these in the trash. What a shame. Shelves and shelves and shelves. And to a pastor, that would be very valuable. If I don't wake up some morning, I want to make sure I have papers filed so that Eli would get it and add it to the assembly's library or pass it on to another pastor that needs certain books. He sent me books while I was in prison. Eli helped and helped and helped and helped and helped. He doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk, and he helps his brothers and sisters because Yahweh is his God, and his heart and the Holy Spirit is with him, and it tells him to. That's how it is. I mean, if you are of Yahweh, you're going to want to do Yahweh's things. And you can make all the claims you want, but if you're not of Yahweh, you're going to do the way of the world. And it says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And you see a lot of these people sitting in the Amen pew of the Judeo-Christian church they're going to, and then they go out, and as soon as church is done, and Monday morning, they go back to living in the way of the world. They put off all of that, and it's all about greed and accumulating stuff and their personal wants. And it's all fake. Fake, fake, fake. Fake Christians. The purpose of this show and what I'm doing here is to exhort the people of Israel, not anybody else. I'm not speaking to anybody not of Israel. If that's hateful, then I guess it is. I want the people of Israel to get their spiritual life straight with Yahweh. Because the time of the tribulation is coming up, and you need to be spiritually prepared so you do not lose faith. The Holy Spirit will give you strength to make it through the time of trouble that's coming up. It's going to be much, much worse than what it is now. If you think we're persecuted now, just wait. A lot of people believe all Christians, anybody that uses the name of Christ, that talks about Christ, even Jesus, which is improper, they're going to get hammered. The tide is going to turn totally against those that believe in the Redeemer. Even the Judeo-Christians are going to get hammered. They don't believe it yet, but they will. We need to be spiritually prepared. And then, while we're preparing spiritually, we need to prepare physically. Our children need to be educated in the Word. You need to get go bags ready for everybody in the family, because times are going to get tough. And if you live in a city, you're probably going to have to leave. And that means walking away from your house and your stuff. It's all going to burn up anyway. It's hay and stuff. Doesn't mean a thing. Get together what you need to survive. Learn what you need to survive. Prepare now. Once it hits, you're not going to be able to prepare. Stuff won't be available. You need to do it now. And get everything and put it in a closet. It's not going to hurt anything. If you don't need it, it won't hurt anything. But if you do need it and don't have it, you're hit. And your family's hit. Little kids aren't going to be able to survive on their own. They're going to need mommy and daddy to take care of them. If they have to go live in the woods, they're going to need to be fed. They're going to need to be clothed. They're going to need to have their sniffles fixed if they get a little cold. They're going to need the parents. If you're a parent, that's your responsibility to do that. Before the tribulation hits, you need to prepare your children spiritually. You need to teach them. They're going to listen to you. They're not going to get what they need off the devil vision or video games. You can't just dump them on the electronic babysitter that's going to program them for Satan's service. You are going to need to raise your children. Oh yeah, that sounds like work. But the problem with the youth today is the parents didn't raise their children. They let them grow up like weeds. They let the wicked society raise them. And look what we've got. We've got all this garbage going on with our youth today. They've been taught in school to race mix, and the little blonde girls are coming home pregnant by some nigger basketball player. Whose fault is that? You have no right to complain. You didn't intervene. You didn't teach them. Now, I'm not preaching to the choir out there. I'm preaching to the fence sitters and the people that haven't made their move out of the Judeo-Christian false churches of today. The CI people that are already believers, this isn't about you. A lot of us are really getting prepared, and we're helping others prepare. But I'm talking to the ones out there that are just listening to the radio broadcast and really are confused and they don't know what's coming. Well, I'm telling you what's coming because it's in the scriptures. It's in the Bible. And you need to read the Bible for yourself. Don't take what I say as truth. Doubt me. Please doubt me. Look up everything I say. I'm giving you the verses. I'm giving you the definition of the words. Look them up for yourself. Get concordances and scriptures and look everything up that I say. Please doubt me. Because if you read it for yourself and look it up yourself, it's going to imprint upon your brain. Just listening to me isn't going to do it. You need to look it up. Then you will understand. People have been listening to the guy in the pulpit in the Judeo-Christian churches for years, being taught horse manure of the doctrine of the churches. The doctrines of the churches are false doctrines. They don't teach you the truth. They teach you an agenda to put you in service to the world, not to Yahweh. They don't teach you even the name of Yahweh and Yahshua. They're talking about God, G-A-W-D, God, and Jesus, J-A-Y-Z-U-Z, Jesus. Jesus was a Jew, and he was king of the Jews. Well, no, he wasn't a Jew. He was an Israelite. He was king of Israel. And Israel is not the Jews, and the Jews are not Israel. Get that through your thick skulls. Look it up. Where do the Jews fit the criteria of Israel? They have never had a king. They don't have a nation even today. They have the bandit state of Israel, but it's not secured. They haven't been a blessing to the world. They're usurers and parasites, and they bleed everybody dry. Not just the white people. Everywhere they go, they bleed the nations dry. And they're God's chosen people, all right. They're chosen for destruction. Like I said, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, and it'll tell you what Yeshua is going to do when he comes back. And it's not a bake sale for the Jews. There's going to be cooking going on, but not in a good way. Well, I'm coming up on the end of the hour here. I like to leave a little bit of time in case they need to use it for a filler someplace. So I will catch you tomorrow, and I'll be doing chapters 9 through 11 of 2 Kings. I'll say Shalom Aleichem, that is peace be unto you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you, and thanks for tuning in. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, sing.